Clark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio, back on the podcast today, December the 6th. We are now 18 days away. Yes, 18 days away from Christmas, and it's never too early to start planning your holiday season. Actually, it's not early anymore. It's late, folks. 2015 marked the ninth straight year that gift cards were the most requested gift item. If you're a small business, listen up. Are you missing out on those sales opportunities by not having an established gift card program? Well, again, with just over 18 days left until Christmas, you better have already started to prepare because it might be too late. But if not, call our friends Omega Processing Solutions, headquartered right here in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. They've got an easy-to-use gift card and rewards program, and they can help make your holiday shopping season brighter. Contact their customer service team, 866-888-9724, 866-888-9724. That's extension 7. Give my boys Scott Anderson and Todd McHugh and Betsy Downard, my homegirl, a ring. Again, Omega Processing Solutions. So today on the show, we've got my boy, Will Chambers. Will is now with 103.3 FM in Dallas. He is the midday host for ESPN Radio there. And Will, how are you, man?
Hey, bud. You know, hey, dude, you just got done with that whole Omega thing. I actually interviewed with Mr. Anderson at Omega many years ago. Great company.
Oh, he's the man.
He is the man. Yeah, it was a while ago, but yeah, really good company. I'm sorry, I was kind of like laughing myself a little bit hearing you read that.
Did he interview you?
Yeah, he did. He did. We had a great conversation. We met for probably half hour or so and talked about a lot of things. You know, about the job. I was at that point. I think I was in the middle of the season of Georgetown College's play-by-play, so you know that was one element that we were discussing in my schedule and things like that. So, yeah, great guy.
Well, thanks for the plug. I appreciate that. I'm sure Omega appreciates
no
that.
No problem.
As well.
Anything I can do to tee it up for you, buddy.
we didn't even discuss that. But so Will, and that's a good kind of segue. You've been on the Fort Thomas Matters bandwagon for a while, and I think like one of the first things I remember back to when we first started doing the website in earnest, you were kind of like one of those storylines that we followed pretty heavily early on. So you were the play-by-play, doing play-by-play for Georgetown College. You were with iHi for, you know, a minute. You were doing Real Talk 1160 for a minute. And that's kind of always been your dream. So we kind of followed, you know, your career, like what was Will Chambers going to do next? And now you've kind of taken off here. You're in Dallas, you're doing the midday show there. So tell me a little bit, you know, how you got from Northern Kentucky to where you are now following your dreams in Dallas.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a really tough industry, and it's one that a lot of people want to do. It's one to have kind of a difficult avenue if you're not in somewhere or there's different ways to go. And when you're doing thing or when your desire is to be a play-by-play announcer, there wasn't a class in college to take play-by-play. You know, when I came back, most of my undergrad was done at University of Kentucky, but I finished up at Northern Kentucky University as a broadcast journalism major. And it was the first time, really, that I had been able to get some tangible experience in a school setting, although at that time I had already been, I think, at that point, maybe my second or third year with Georgetown College. And, you know, I got a few breaks along the way, but again, we're talking about things that I was having to do for so many years that were not in anywhere close to a full-time job. And that's what makes it very difficult to do things, to build a career, especially when you're in a market, well, when you're in Kentucky and in Cincinnati, unless you get in at, you know, one of those stations, you know, in each city, whether it be in Lexington or Louisville or Cincinnati. And so there's not a whole lot of opportunity because of that. You know, Cincinnati had essentially one all-sports station that has stayed consistent throughout the years, that has maintained, you know, the other stations that come and gone. You mentioned 1160, And, you know, they had, at one point, I really got brought in to do the high school game of the week for them. And I filled in once, I believe, for, you know, the radio show that Jeff DeCoro was doing. And then we had The Fan, which I was a part of, when CBS launched their nationwide sports talk radio affiliates all over the country. And, you know, some of these have come and gone throughout the years, and yet there's only been, you know, 1360 Homer have been the only one that has really maintained as far as an all sports format. So as you can imagine, and they only have, you know, what, one local show.
Yeah.
So as you can imagine, there's not a lot of spots. There's not a lot of positions. And it was a really very difficult decision for me to move because, you know, I had believed for so long. I mean, I'm a pretty methodical person, especially when it comes to my career. And I'm thinking, okay, well, it's not just about moving to another place. You know, you got to make it there. And in hindsight, that ends up being, you know, completely wrong. You know, and I was reticent to move just because I felt like I had not built up enough of a resume, enough of a name to be able to get anywhere just by moving into a bigger market. And so it had just reached a point when I was living in Covington, and I just wasn't able to get anywhere. You mentioned IHI. I was one of the play-by-play announcers for a good number of the state championships throughout the state of Kentucky. But IHI had basically gone defunct. I had left Georgetown College and was doing the high school game of the week, and then that had stopped. Finally, when I was able to get on with The Fan, that only lasted 7 months with my good friend Tom Gamble. And so from there, it just kind of like was like, what is there left to do here? Like it came to a point where I realized that if I stayed home, if I stayed in Kentucky, that my career was going to die. And it was a hard thing to come to a realization. I remember having a conversation with my brother-in-law, who had moved. They had been in Asheville, North Carolina, and they had moved to Dallas a few months earlier than we were having this conversation, and it was close to the holidays. And he said something that was very poignant and one was a pivotal moment in my life that I realized that things had to change, and they had to change now. And he was worried about me from a standpoint of having a decent enough resume to get a job outside of broadcasting. And he was very honest. He just said, "Will, look, we all believe that, you know, in your talent level and your ability to do this, you know, if the opportunity comes, that's great. I know you'll do very well in it, but we've got to talk about your resume because you're 35 years old right now, and your resume is good enough, is decent enough right now to be able to get a sales job and move from there. But 5 years from now, if we're in the same position we are now, that may not be the case." And that was a huge wake-up call because it basically was me thinking, he's absolutely right, and it's now or never. If I can't get this going right now, then I have got to take a look and just be honest with myself that this isn't going to happen. And so from there, the decision was made to move down to Dallas, and never been more scared in my whole life. You know, I packed up my car and drove down. It took me 2 days. I get there and, you know, I had a few contacts, but nobody that I actually knew, you know, people, friends of friends that, you know, hooked me up with an email address or a phone number. And I was able to have like a little bit of communication, but, you know, months would go by and nothing was happening. And I was working in a job that was the most difficult job I had ever done in my whole life, which was in physician recruiting, which involves basically making a ton of cold calls a day and then traveling into your territory once a month. And it was very difficult. 7 months in, I just was not, it wasn't going anywhere. And it actually, it hit me so hard, Mark, that, and I was so stressed and worried about this job that was so difficult for a number of different reasons, which I won't go into, but it wasn't working out for me financially. I wasn't able to get a lot of things going in my territory in Mississippi for, like I said, a number of different reasons. And yet I was not getting anywhere in the broadcasting. I had, you know, a meeting here or there, have been trying to stay in contact with some people there, but it just wasn't happening. And to a point where I was leaving home to go home from work. I was working in Irving, and I was living in Frisco, to the point where I was sitting in traffic and it just overwhelmed me and I just started crying in the car. And you and I have known each other a long time. I am not a crier.
No.
You know, and it hit me because I just started thinking to myself, you've got to start accepting this, that this is just not going to happen. And what's funny, about a week later, I had seen another job post that had been put up for a low-level position, you know, with the station. And so I had emailed the program director. There's three all-sports stations down here. One of the reasons why I wanted to move here is because of the fact that I believe, honestly, that this is the best sports market in the country. They are crazy about their high school sports. They are crazy about college football, obviously. The NFL, it's an NHL town and a pretty good one, which would surprise you if you've never been down here. And, of course, the Dallas Mavericks and the Texas Rangers. So this market of North Texas, I thought, was very good. And one of the program directors here, one of the three stations, actually the PD of two of them, and I was finally able to get a meeting with him to say, you know, to go in there, and this is for this, you know, it's kind of a lower-level job. And I go in and I talk with him, and the assistant program director is in there as well. And he asked me, he's like, you know, so where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I want to be like, you know, if I was telling him honestly, I was like, I would have said, I have no idea. You know, and a week ago, I was crying in my car because I thought my broadcasting career was over and all the things I had ever wanted in the entirety of my life was, I was trying to come to terms with it being over. And now I'm sitting in your office. But I just said to him, you know, what I wanted to do and how I, you know, I wanted to be a national play-by-play guy and how I had fallen back in love with doing sports talk radio still, you know, when I had been doing it with Tom Gamble up there and how much fun I had doing it. I really liked it. So I saw myself there and doing it. I said, look, I didn't move down here to be a physician recruiter. I moved down here for this. And I mean, Mark, of all the years I've been doing this, and it really, my on-air career began right around 2005, the great majority of the work that I had done had been in play-by-play. And, you know, you host pregame show a little bit, which could be a half hour or an hour. I had done very little sports talk radio. When I started at 25 at ESPN Radio in Lexington, that was only about 5-6 months.
You were on there with, I got to stop you for a second. You were on there with my boy Chris Cross, right?
Oh, yeah. Come over here. Chris Cross, yeah, one of my first bosses. And, boy, that was a tough situation at ESPN 1300 there.
I'm sorry.
I'll leave it at that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to get you off track there.
No, it's okay. I was just saying, you know, it had been so little, and then 7 months really with Tom Gamble.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeff Catlin, he looked over at me and he said, you know, Will, he's like, this is a top five market, you know, a top five sports market here, Dallas, you know, Fort Worth. I'm just not going to take anybody off the street and put them on the radio. You know, this is big boy radio. And so what I'm imagining is him saying next, like, you know, we'll get you in here. We'll kind of, you know, move you along and, you know, get you around here. But then he said, you know, you've got the talent and the experience to be here. So I want to get you in here and I want to get you working in. I was like, I mean, I was floored. I mean, considering where I thought I had gotten to a week earlier. And then that's where it really began. And so from there, that was almost 2 years ago, and got some work in there, got kind of worked my way up, and they decided to make some changes. And now, I've been here in Dallas 2.5 years and now a couple months into hosting Middays 9-1 with John Jeff Taylor.
And what a time to kind of be in Dallas. I mean, you talked about all the different, you know, they're just crazy about sports down there, whether it's high school, they're putting billboards up in there. Do they put billboards up in their yards, by the way, for their high school kids? Is that a myth or does that happen?
No, yeah. You're not getting Varsity Blues type billboards going up in the yards here now.
Okay,
but you know, it's crazy too. Is that the high school sports is huge? It doesn't get a ton of play on local radio here, which was amazing to me. You know, we talk about it very little, and you know, it's kind of, they love it. They fill these stadiums. These stadiums are huge. I for 6 years I was a play-by-play announcer for Georgetown College. I mean, it's an NAIA, and those are smaller colleges, but these high school stadiums here are bigger than most of the stadiums I would go to on the road.
Well, you've got high school sports. You've got, I mean, what a time, though. The Dallas Cowboys, are they the Super Bowl favorites at this point? I mean, I think you kind of have to say yeah, aren't they?
Yeah, Vegas has them there, you know, right there with the Patriots. I think it changed a little bit when Rob Gronkowski had gone down. So, yeah, they're close. I mean, you always, at least I do, my opinion is looking towards what Vegas thinks, because there's a reason why that place has, you know, such big, beautiful buildings. Right. They're typically right. And I think that with how they look at it, yeah, the Cowboys, they're 11-1. How else are you really going to shake it? Their defense is shaky. You know, they've got to get more of a pass rush. You know, there's some elements there. They've had some injuries, suspensions, and all that. So I would say yes when you compare the Cowboys to the other teams out there. New England, to me, we just actually got done talking about this about an hour or two ago. And say, you know, New England seems to be the most consistent on both sides of the ball. But, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys have a phenomenal offense led by two rookies that helps out their defense a tremendous amount, because they stay on the field, they overpower you, and they just hold on to the ball in the second half, which makes up for a lot of deficiencies on defense. So, yeah, I mean, they are clearly the team, you know, one of the two, three teams that have to be the favorites to get to the Super Bowl.
Do you do much interviewing of sports guys, athletes on your show?
We typically, when we have interviews, do interviews on the show, a lot of times with sports writers. We get coaches every now and again. The thing is, and this is nothing, we go in and talk with the athletes. You know, Jean-Jacques Taylor, my partner, has been with Dallas Morning News at ESPN.com for 25 years, and he's terrific. He's got a long history here. He's been covering the Cowboys since 1995. And so, you know, he obviously knows the Cowboys very, very well, being around the team and things like that, where I'm just, you know, starting to, you know, learn everybody and, you know, get to know, you know, some of the players. And the way that we interview players, the way I do, is I, you know, decided to do like 10 random questions. And we had some things that's not necessarily sports. You know, like if you could be one person, if you could be another person for 24 hours, who would it be? You know, what are the thing? What's the one thing that you cannot walk by and not buy?
Right.
We came up with a segment, or I did this thing I wrote out of months and months ago of who's weirder. You know, things that, you know, weird guys do, whatever, and which one is more weird. So we always end on that. And
give me an example.
That's a fun way to do with athletes.
Let's play that game right now. You remember anything that?
Okay. We just had Bryce Butler for it, and I asked him, who's weirder, men who take baths or men who wear Speedos at the pool or at the beach?
I guess it kind of depends. To me, it kind of depends on your age, right? So,
Right. Well, yeah, if you're north of 10 years old – or north of 8 years old, I think that's when it starts to get a little bit weird. But I'm really talking about men. Like, you know,
right.
If you're
so like a dude our age.
Yes. Or if you're an older man, I mean, that's what, and even Bryce Butler said it himself. He said, if you have the ability to take a shower and you're taking baths, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean,
I couldn't agree with him more.
I think baths are kind of nasty, aren't they? I mean, not to...
That's how I feel about it. I ain't trying to lay around in my own whatever.
It's like dirt, you know, dirt soup. It's like, but, you know, I can see people wearing Speedos, too, and thinking it's like a funny thing. So I'm going to go with the bath.
Baths are.
Yeah, that's weird. That's bizarre.
Yeah, it's weird. But that's typically how we, you know, that's how I handle, you know, athletes. You know, every once in a while we'll have a player... Yeah, you know, the former players are really terrific, because now that they're not playing anymore, they're much more talkative for obvious reasons. So, yeah, we're looking for insight and analysis and stuff like that. But when it comes to the actual athletes, I'd rather hear about a lot more stuff that's interesting about their lives. You know, I don't try to get too personal. It's supposed to be kind of quick and fun with the random questions. But, you know, things more along those lines.
Who's been the coolest interview you've had so far while you've been in Dallas?
We had Mark Cuban in studio, and had a lot of fun with him. And you know, this for me, having grown up, you know, I'm a Kentucky boy, and, you know, you see all these people, the Jerry Jones, the Mark Cubans of the world from afar. I don't cover them. You know, I'm not a journalist, you know, they're covering their teams and things like that. And so, you know, for me personally, I've always liked Mark Cuban and had, you know, I really wanted him to own the Chicago Cubs badly when he was going for it. And now here, you know, you've got to be objective and cover him. So there's a little bit of that, but it was a lot of fun to have him in and talk with him. We were kind of giving each other crap back and forth because he said, before he came in, we have an actual kind of an odd connection. His nanny is the wife of one of my good friends, an actual University of Kentucky grad. And so we were talking about that, and he said, oh, you know, she loves her cats. I was like, don't we all? And he mentioned, you know, going to Indiana. So he started ribbing me, and I said, hey, Mark, how's your Sweet 16 banner? I was like, are you still wearing the ring? And it was fun. It was cool going back and forth with him. But, I would say probably that one was the one that stands out the most so far.
And of course, Mark Cuban is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, which probably most people in Dallas know him from. But outside of that, he's also pretty famous, gotten some good notoriety from Shark Tank, which people that aren't into the NBA might know him from. So,
oh yeah, big television star.
Yeah, big time. So let's go back to some of the first things that we did together on For Thomas Matters. Besides covering, I think we called when we were covering your what move you were going to make next. It was like, I think we titled it Will Chambers, The Move. Or I think it was something along the lines of what was LeBron James when he was going through his thing? It was Will Chambers, The Decision. I think that's what we, I think that's what we called it. But besides that, you and I were doing, how many eating contests did we do together?
Oh my goodness. Boy, I'll tell you, Mark, I don't know if I've ever been more miserable in my life from something so, like, silly. I don't even know how to put it. I almost wanted to pick up smoking again just so I could try to digest the food that we had. Oh, the pizza eating contest with Jared and Pat Tolles.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Didn't we do
By the way,
one?
For the record, how many people realize that you and I, two skinny, you know, cake eaters, were the ones that actually won that contest over Jared, who, you know, well over three bills. And then Patrick Tolles, at the time, was, you know, a senior in high school, but a Division I quarterback recruit. And then we beat him. I don't know how that happened.
That's got to go up on the kind of the crazy bucket list type thing. That was a cool experience.
I actually have it on my resume. It's just one of the footnotes.
So we did that one. I thought we did another one, didn't we? Yeah, I know what we did. We did that Arnie's one together. Wasn't that you and I?
Oh, yes. Yep, you're right. The hot dog eating contest. I can't believe I let you talk me into that for a second time after the first one, how miserable I was.
Let's talk about...
That's good work. You're a good salesman.
Let's talk about... This is the inside story. I don't know if you remember this, but the theme for that event, it was called the All Dog Challenge, and we did it at Arnie's on the Levee. And the theme was, it was going to be me and you and a couple Brighton Center people, because that's, we did it to raise money for the Brighton Center. And it was supposed to be against the four University of Kentucky quarterbacks who were on the roster. Do you remember that? So it was supposed to be...
Vaguely.
It was supposed to be Patrick Tolles, and then it was supposed to be Morgan Newton and Max Smith, and there was another guy.
Oh, yes.
Jalen Whitlow. So it was those four guys, and Patrick was the only one that came through. All the other ones reneged and didn't show up. So it's, you know, we've got all these people here at this Arnie's thing to watch us eat hot dogs and raise money, and none of the other Kentucky quarterbacks show up except for Patrick. And then this random guy, this big offensive lineman, who he was most famous for, I think he was on like Sports Nation or something like that when Kentucky last went to a bowl game, and he did this belly flop off of the diving board.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I forget his name.
I do. It's back now. I remember that one being much easier to endure than the pizza for whatever reason.
Really? God, that one was like awful for me. I could not do that.
Well, the taste wasn't good. What I remember most about those eating contests was learning what flavor fatigue was from you, where you had actually put some work into before the pizza eating contest and like with strategy and stuff like that. All I did was not eat before I came in. That was the only thing I did as far as a strategy was concerned. And you said something about changing, you can't change your palate. Like and you get flavor fatigue, that's why you get sick.
That's right.
At first, and then you eat so much that obviously it's kind of, you're just, I don't know, purging's not the right word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
To get rid of it. But I'm like, flavor fatigue, that's really a real thing? And then I'm in the middle of the contest, and it sure is.
Yep.
Because I don't think I didn't have pizza for a good long while after that.
Well, anytime that you or I do anything, we get so damn competitive. I did not want to lose to Jared. And so of course I'm going to like
research. And Jared's really not like, God love him. Jared is like, he's the greatest guy ever. But Jared is not like that. And so you and I are heaving it down. And I'm looking over and it's like, this is Thursday for Jared.
Well, I wanted to send a message to him. And I distinctly remember like 20 seconds into the competition, I was like, all right, I'm going to try to put down at least a couple pieces and just demoralize him. And I swear I did. I got two down like within, I'm not kidding you, a minute. And I remember Jared looking over to me and saying, what the hell, Collier? And I could see defeat.
Yeah,
in his eyes.
He knew it was on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right when he got into it, because when we were, he texted me later on that afternoon and he said that was a horrible decision.
How about
oh boy, was not feeling it.
No. And so let's kind of reset too. So you are a Cubs fan, obviously. You had the fall of your dreams with a Chicago Cubs World Series victory. First time in 100 how many years? 100 and what?
Oh God, 108.
108 years. So Will Chambers is a Chicago Cub fan, a Chicago Bear fan, a University of Kentucky fan. What else am I missing?
Bulls and Blackhawks. I mean, I'm pretty simple. It's Chicago outside of the White Sox, who I can't stand, and then Kentucky, and then that's pretty much where my allegiances. That's where they end.
How awesome was the World Series victory for you?
Well, I mean, it's actually a pretty funny story. So one of my duties at the station before I got the full-time job as midday host, I kind of moved my way up to being, I would fill in for Mike, we're the home of the Mavericks. And so for pregame, in-game sports centers, halftime, postgame coverage is handled by a guy, great professional, Mike Peasley. And I had filled in for him a little bit last year, and then this year I was the full-time backup. So basically, any time that Mike Peasley cannot do the game, say if Chuck Cooperstein, the voice of the Mavericks, can't be there to do the game, Mike Peasley will be on the call, and then I step in. Or if Mike's on vacation, you know how it goes. So this year, Mike Peasley, also who's from Iowa, is a huge Chicago Cubs fan. Now, I didn't realize that he was taking off to go to Chicago Cubs games, but right after the Cubs clinch against the Dodgers, I was just curiously looking at flights. And I've got family that's still up there, and I'm texting with my cousins and my aunt and uncle that live up there and going back. I mean, just, you can't believe it, right? They don't just lose. They lose in these spectacular fashions. They really do just crush your soul. And it didn't happen. They won. They beat the Dodgers. They're going to the World Series. It's surreal to me. And I look on my phone and I get up on Orbitz thinking, oh, they're going to be like $450, for a plane ticket. And I actually get, there's like $200. I'm like, oh, I'm buying it. So I buy it right away. And I totally failed to realize that weekend I had to fill in for Mike Peasley. So we were able to get it worked out. I went to Chicago for a weekend. I didn't actually go to the game, although I had tickets for game 5. I had a ticket for me through a friend. that was about 13, 15 rows up from the third base side, and she ended up selling it for $4,000. But I had to come back. I had to come back on Sunday and do pregame, you know, studio hosting duties for the Mavericks. And I also had to handle the night during Game 7, which was a Wednesday or a Thursday night. And this is also while doing, you know, the show in the morning. And, yeah, I was in the studio at the station with the game on, and it was really kind of difficult to watch, and my emotions are just going up and down because, I have a job to do here. I've got to be – I'm paying attention to the Mavericks game and listening to it and marking down plays, but then I'm also looking up at the television to, you know, see what's going on during the game. So this back and forth was really difficult. But it was incredible. In fact, we had finally – finished up the postgame show right as the Cubs were scoring in the 10th. Luckily, you know, I get off the air, they had just scored, so at least I'm going to be able to watch the end of it, hopefully, you know, with a win. And I'm going nuts because I'm very happy, but I had just been really pissed about the things that Joe Maddon was doing. I mean, I love Joe Maddon. I love him all season.
Right.
I thought he was perfect for this. But I have lost my mind as to what he has done in Game 6 and Game 7 with the pitchers. It was just inexplicable to me. And I was, you know, so you're so nervous, and I'm, you know, I'm in the studio, and I'm watching, and our producer of Mavs Network, Chris Gross, is in with me as well. And it just, it gets to, you know, the final inning and the final at-bat, and I have no idea that Chris is videoing me. And it happens, and I'm watching on this small screen, and I mean, it was just like this exulting. It was unbelievable, but it doesn't. You know, you always wonder. I'll never know what it feels like to have that because you've gone so long. I mean, my whole life I've never seen it, but then all the times that they've lost, and I don't have any other team. I am nowhere near as emotionally connected to Kentucky basketball like I am to the Cubs. And that's honest to God. You know how big of a Cats fan I am.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I like everybody else. I live and die with, you know, the Cats. Like Saturday, I was all bent up about UCLA. But it's different with the Cubs. And what was so great about it, you know, they win and all that stuff. But I'm driving home and, you know, my phone number changed, you know, that like months and months ago. I'm not on Facebook. So if you haven't talked to me in a while, or you don't, you know, I'm only on Twitter and Instagram. I'm not the easiest guy to get a hold of anymore. You know, if you lose the phone number, you just hit them up on Facebook. Well, I'm not there anymore. I had people that I didn't even know that were searching out my number to text me from different places all over the country, you know, to congratulate me, all that kind of stuff. And that's one of the things when you grow up in, you know, Northern Kentucky, the Cincinnati area, but you're not a Bengals or a Reds fan or something like that. You're a Cubs, Bears fan. So anytime anything happens with those teams, you're usually the one that they think of. And that was what was really special, you know, for me that, you know, I got to relive, you know, how much, you know, people think about you when they, you know, when the Cubs do it. And it was really special. It was really fun. It was incredible. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah. You were one of the first people that I thought of. My 86-year-old grandmother is a huge Cubs fan. They're, my mom's side of the family is from Chicago as well. And so it was Will Chambers, my grandmother, and my friend Jeff Nafusi, who for some reason is a Cubs fan. He's also a Louisville Cardinals fan, which is kind of disgusting, but
I just kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit.
But those three were the people that I thought of, and so I was obviously happy for you, and I'm happy for you that you're I think your story is unique in that. You know, it's kind of a testament as to, you know, you don't give up your dream until you feel like you've given everything that you got. And your story, I think, is one that illustrates that, you know, this is the reason that you string it out until the bitter end, if it's your true passion. And I'm very, very happy for you that you've found it, that you're doing well, and hope, you know, you have nothing but continued success.
Well, I really appreciate it, my friend. It's been a long ride, and you've been there for a lot of it. And I appreciate all the support you've always given me over the years, and for this career that I desperately coveted. And so, to have things moving in the direction that they are, to be where I am today here, it's pretty special. So, I can't thank you enough as well.
Well, go back. Let's look at the archives. We can Google Will Chambers, The Decision. Other than that though, Will, how can people connect with you?
You can find me on Twitter, and on Instagram at the same address, at Will ESPN DFW. And yeah, that would be it.
Well, Will Chambers, thanks so much for joining us today on Four Thomas Matters Radio. Again, Will is with 103.3 FM Dallas. Can you find that on iHeart? Are you guys on iHeart?
No, actually, on your smartphone, just go into the App Store and you can just search ESPN Dallas. And the app is free. It's very simple. Typically, you know, when I'm not in the car, that's how I listen to our station. It's very easy through the app. So you could definitely find it there.
Well, Will, thanks so much. Continued success, brother.
Thank you. Give my best and my love to everybody in the hometown in Fort Thomas. I appreciate it.
Will do.